ध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकाम् ईश्वरीम् Krishna explained in the 14th shloka that whether we know or not, the Atman and the Ishvara or Brahman, the aspect of Brahman in each one of us, which is called Atman, it na kartrutvam na karmani, it doesn't have kartrutvam, it doesn't do any action, it doesn't crave, it doesn't have any association with karma phalam as well. Then what is it that, like, how can actions be explained? Svabhavastu pravartate. Svabhavam, the nature of the mind, vasanas, mind, avidya, prakriti, maya, all those activate. So at the individual level it is vasana. At the collective level we can see maya is what is making things happen, or actions are happening due to maya. So in another place, in the 14th chapter of Gita, speaking about the trigunam, gunatrayam, or three gunas, as Krishna himself says, that nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashta anupashyati, na anyam gunebhya kartaram, na kartaram gunebhya anyam, na pashyati yada drashta. Yada ven gunebhya anyah kartaram. Kartaram or karta, a doer other than gunaha, other than the trigunas, gunebhya drashta na pashyati. So the drashta or the seer or the atman, the seeker sadhaka who is one with the atman, he doesn't see any doer other than the trigunas, gunebhyascha param veti, so madbhavam adigacchati, he goes beyond the gunam, gunas, and that is mind state. So guna atitah is what the word used there, guna atitan, is the same as sthitaprajnan. Sthitaprajnan is when a person's intellect is convinced and clear about Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivu Brahma Eva Naparaha. It's always remembering that. So it is with respect to that truth. And Guna Atitaha is when a person knows that Gunas are doing actions. That means I have no relation to action. That means I am a Sakshi. I am the Sakshi Brahman of the illusory activities happening in the world of the Karma Lokam, in which karma happened due to either avidya or maya or vasana or the tendencies of the mind, kamam, or trigunas. So these are different ways. There are different ways in which you can explain the same thing. So all are synonyms. Like, it's the same meaning, that the doer or the seeker. The seeker has no relation whatsoever with activities happening. Therefore, he should be unaffected. So that this is the same thing that Krishna explained as naiva kinchit karomi iti yukto manyena tatvavet. So whether a person follows that attitude of I am not the doer, or brahmanyadaya karmani, offering to Brahman, advitiya Brahman, both ways, the reality or the truth is that na kartrutvam na karmani lokasya srajati prabhu na karma phala samyogam svabhavastu pravartate. So this is the truth about whatever is happening. So truth about Brahma Satyam and Jagan Mithya. Brahma Satyam, it is the Sakshi, adhishthanam of all actions. And actions happen due to svabhavam, means that is Jagat. So Jagat is Mithya. So after explaining that, if that is the case, then what really creates this illusion? And if that is the case, If that is the case, then does Ishvara really seek papam and punyam of his devotees? So that is Shankara's interpretation of the next shloka. Whereas, if we take not as Ishvara but as the Atman, that means Atman. So it is an extension. The 15th shloka can be, as I said, like the 14th shloka, Prabhu can be interpreted as Atman or Ishvara. Similarly, there is a word Vibhu in the next shloka which is interpreted by Shankara as Ishvara, whereas Balakrishna Nair interprets it as Atman. So there can be two interpretations of the shloka. So let's see the shloka. So it is the ultimate view that is being explained. So one, we can consider it as an extension of whatever is being said in the 14th shloka, and as to what differentiates or what really creates this two sections of Jaganmithya and Brahma Satyam, what is it that really creates? So if we know what is it that creates, then we will be able to get rid of it. So it's like trying to get rid of actions or trying to be the Sakshi, that is fine, but what creates this difference between Sakshi and Jagat Mithya, Mithya Jagat? So what is it that activates this Mithya Jagat and deludes people? So that means, I come to know that Sakshi, I am the Sakshi and the world is an illusion. But just before, some time back, I was also deluded. And even after learning this, I am also deluded at some point of time. Again and again, I fall down. I get deluded again into the world. So what is it that causes this delusion? So if I am able to know the cause of the delusion, then I'll be able to stay away from the delusion. I'll be able to get off from the delusion. So that is what Krishna explains in the 15th shloka. Nadatte kasya chit papam.
Nadatte kasya chit papam.
Na chaiva sukritam vibhu.
Najaiva sukritam vibhu.
Ajnanena vritam jnanam.
Ajnanena vritam jnanam.
Tena muhyanti jantavah.
Tena muhyanti jantavah.
So as I said, Vibhu can be interpreted as Ishvara or it can be interpreted as Atman. So if we interpret it as Ishvara, then the meaning becomes that if this is the case, then Ishvara or Brahman doesn't crave for his devotees papam or punyam. So when it is said that devotees should do punyam, so that means he doesn't crave for their punyam nor their papam. He doesn't take any of those. So if somebody says or thinks that, okay, if I do this, then Ishvara will curse me. And if I do good things or bad things, like whatever I do, that will Ishvara will take it. So it's like telling, I'm not doing, Ishvara is doing. So do all bad things and then put blame it on Ishvara. If somebody does that, it is wrong because na adatte kasya chit papam. Na adatte, he doesn't seek or he doesn't attract what kasya chit papam. Papam. Kasya chit. Anybody's papam, Ishvara doesn't attract. Cha and eva surely na sukratam. Sukratam as well he doesn't attract. So in case of devotees, then how do devotees progress from Swaguna Brahman to Nirguna Brahman? So if that is asked, Krishna has clearly explained in the 12th chapter. In the 12th chapter, if I am right, in the 5th shloka, Krishna speaks about 6th shloka, sorry. Yetu sarvahani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha ananyenaiva yogena maam dhyayanta upasate tesham aham samudratta mritya samsara sagara bhavami najrat partha maya veshita chetasam. So, there he says that I am the savior, but how am I the savior? Because Brahmanyadaya karmani, when a person offers everything to Ishvara, then what happens is his notion of Ishvara is somebody who is all pervasive, who is the substratum of the illusory world, who is being seen everywhere. That means you see that form everywhere. That itself will take you to the, when you see one form everywhere, that form alone exists. And when that form becomes all pervasive, when that form expands to the entire universe, then it cannot be called a form, because form is something which is limited, but this becomes unlimited. Therefore, from the formless form to formless you go, from the limited to the unlimited you go through this way. So Ishvara doesn't have any real part. So the concept of Ishvara or Brahman as Advitiya Brahman, as one who is present everywhere, that is helps, but not Ishvara as such. So Ishvara or Brahman doesn't have any craving. So that is one way of interpreting this shloka. For bhaktas, it is their own belief that, okay, if that is the case, Krishna says, ye yatamam prapadyante tam stateva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante manishya partha sarvashah yam yam tanam bhavam sriddayachitum arhasi tasya 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 aham. There is a shloka, I forgot the shloka now. So there also, like, he speaks about that for people who are doing who have devotion, I am the one who helps them, who leads them up. So that is one of the shloka that Krishna says in the 7th chapter. And similarly, in the 9th chapter, he says that api anya devata bhaktaha yajante sraddhayanvitaha tepi mameva kaunteya yajante avidhi purvakam. So all this he says, they worship me, I give them fruit and all. But their I giving fruit is not I as the Ishvara. It is just like Ishvara as a judge. So it is karma that is acting. It's not Ishvara who gives things. So Ishvara doesn't give or take. So that is where at the end of the shloka, this chapter is important, because at the end of this chapter we will find that Krishna speaking that he is the Suhrat of all beings. That means he is not affected or attached to anyone in particular. So it's the same concept that Krishna says in the 9th chapter as well, that samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyaha ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. So I am not attached or averted to people. I don't take their sins nor their good deeds. But then what happens if they really worship me in the good way? Then the effect of the punyam they will get, and then if they do bad actions, the papam they will get. So I don't attract anything, I'm not attached to anything, but it is their own action. So the one way is, like, we can say that Ishvara has no relation whatsoever with the bhakta, except that the bhakta's concept of Ishvara is important, and it is that concept of Ishvara who helps. So wherever Krishna says that I help, I help, I help, we have to interpret it as I, the notion of Krishna, the notion of Ishvara as Advitiya Brahman, as Sarvavyapi Brahman, that helps a seeker, not Ishvara as such. Such a notion, such a concept of Ishvara in the mind of the seeker helps the seeker, not Ishvara as such. So that is one interpretation as per Shankara. So as per Balakrishna Nair, Vibhu means not Ishvara or Brahman, but it means the Atman, so individual self. So in that case, this becomes an extension of the 14th shloka. So in 14th shloka, Krishna says, I don't have any attachment to the karma phalam and all. So what does happen if a person gains punyam and papam? Does that come to the Atman? So karma phala samyogam, I am not associated with karma phalas. Okay, karma phalas, fine. But the specific karma phalas of punyam papam, that means like karma phala, we can say punya papam are karma phalas, but we have other karma phalas, normal karma phalas as well. So, or to make it specific, if you say that, okay, I don't have an association with karma phala, let's say Arjuna has a doubt. Okay, I agree you don't have association with karma phala, but what about punyam or papam? So I am fine if it is mishra karmam. So karma phalas or karmas are defined as three types, like punya karmam, papa karmam, punya papa mishra karmam. So punya karmam, punya karma, you know, papa karma, papa karmas, that leads to papam, and then punya papa mishra karma, mixed karma. So punya papa mishra karma is fine. What about punyam papam in specific? So Krishna says, na adatte kasyachit papam. The Atman doesn't really attract punyam or papam. That means, you don't, like, if you have doubt, I will clarify it. So, na karma phala samyogam, I said, I'll clarify it clearly by telling that punyam and papam. Clearly mentioning that I don't have any association with punyam or papam. So here an interesting doubt may come, like whether Shankara is true or Balakrishna is true. Shankara's meaning makes sense, but in that case he is more leaning towards bhakti, and it's a new concept, so it is valid. But for Balakrishna Nair's thing, we can say, okay, it is a repetition. Why would Krishna need to repeat the same thing? That too in the very next shloka. If he repeats it in the very next shloka, that means there is punaravrati. There is a repetition, which is a fault. So it doesn't need to be repeated. If that is the argument somebody makes, okay, some staunch follower of Shankara read Balakrishna Nair's commentary and says, okay, this is wrong. It cannot be the Atman. Why? Because it's the same thing which has been said in the previous shloka. If that is said, then avritti rasakrit upadesha. Upanishad speak about avritti. So Tattvamasi or Chandogya Upanishad will be invalid if avritti or repetition is not used. Similarly, if we really analyze many of the concepts that Krishna says in this chapter comes in the next chapter or the next to next chapter. So all chapters have the same concept. That means it is repetition. Oh, that is fine because it is different chapter, but here it's this very next shloka. If that is said, that is not a fault because we cannot differentiate. So there may be doubts. There may be doubts as to or clarification of thing. Therefore, Krishna has to explain it in clearly, in clear words. If he doesn't do that in clear words, people might get confused. Therefore, he has to do it. So that's the way we can we can explain it, that even though it's in the very next shloka, it's still fine because it is kind of raising an objection or doubt as to what about punyam and papam. So those are the two interpretations of the first line. So both make sense. One way, like it is bhaktas, like bhaktas, they progress themselves, or sadhakas. Sadhakas progress themselves because of their notion of Ishvara. Their concept, right concept of Brahman will lead them to the goal. Wrong concept will lead them away from the goal. So there is no punyam and papam which is attracted by Ishvara, nor does Ishvara have any punya karma aspect to it, or like Ishvara has any part in the punyam of papam. So, okay, that much is clear. So what is the cause of this entire problem, the problem arising out of associating or becoming the karta? So problems can be of three types. One is kartritvam. So being associated as the karta or being associated in the karma in any way. So somebody slaps me. So there I am not the karta, but I am the bhokta, I experience. Or somebody beats me, so I become the receiver there, or like the goal or the phalam is for me, and that in turn propels another action. So that is what happens there. So I can be the karta, or I can be associated with the karma, or karma phala samyogam. I can have karma phala samyogam, which is in the form of punya karma or papa karma, seeking punya or papa. So here it's also like Krishna also says that. So it means that Balakrishna's interpretation would mean that punyam and papam don't really help the seeker. It neither helps the seeker nor takes him away from the goal. That means both the karmas are fine. What is important is the attitude behind the action. So that is the reason why in the fourth chapter he has already said, api chedasi sarvebhya papebhya papakrittamaha sarvam jnana plavenevam vrajinam santarishyasi. Api chedasi sarvebhya papebhya papakrittamaha. The maximum papa, or all papas, including the maximum, the highest or the worst possible action that a person does, even that, sarvam jnana plavenevam vrajinam santarishyasi. So such a person will be immersed in samsaram, and he will come out of samsaram through the log of jnanam, With that jnanam, he will cross over all papam. That means all papas will be removed by jnanam. So it doesn't matter whether we do papam or punyam. It matters whether we have jnanam. Jnanam aspect or the bhakti aspect wherein we have knowledge about the Ishvara and offer it to Ishvara. We ourselves aren't able to do, aren't able to ultimately follow kartritna kartritvamna karmani and na karma phala samyogam. Therefore we offer it to Ishvara and indirectly follow this. Both ways a person will get rid. So it also means that punyam and papam, there is nothing called punyam and papam for spirituality. For spirituality, actions which take a person more towards jnanam, action which helps a person in nididhyasanam, actions which help a person in remembering Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Ivana Paraha, or actions done with remembrance of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Ivana Paraha is Punya Karmam, and actions which are done without remembering that, even though it may be Shravanam or it may be Mananam, it may be learning, it may be going for discourses, it may be giving discourses, it may be chanting, it may be anything else, it may be learning from any Shankaracharya itself, still if we don't remember that, then it is a papa karma. That means it will only lead us away. So what is the real cause of all this? Explain me, Krishna, please explain to me the real cause so that I can get out of it. So Krishna says, it's a very important shloka. It speaks about the fundamental of Advaita, that ajnanam veils the Atman. So ajnanena avratam jnanam. So jnanam here means like the jnanam, or we can, Shankara interprets it as viveka jnanam, so, or vivekam. So the right, like whatever we have to do, that jnanam, the jnanam to behave in the world, that means vritti jnanam, which is the, or like going by like, here Shankara gives us viveka jnanam. So jnanam means viveka jnanam, or knowing what to do and what not to do. So that jnanam, ajnanena avratam, it has been veiled by ajnanam. So we can interpret it that way, or we can also interpret that jnanam here means the self. So whether it is the self, or if we, or like we can say that it is just that jnanam, or the jnanam as to how to behave in the world, how to work in the world, remembering Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Evana Paraha, that is jnanam here, that has been veiled by ajnanam. So remove ajnanam by strengthening jnanam. So by using more jnanam, so by strengthening jnanam, ajnanam vanishes. So it is ajnanam that veils jnanam. So it can be interpreted, it doesn't matter whether we interpret it as viveka jnanam, that means like vritti jnanam, or the way of living in the world, or swarupa jnanam, which is the Atman itself. Both are right. So there is no fault in telling that, okay, if it is swarupa jnanam, how can ajnanam veil swarupa jnanam? Ajnanam doesn't really veil. So ajnanam only seems to veil because the Atman is always Sakshi. So Shankara's interpretation becomes less easier because there will be no objection. So the Atman is still there. Atman, either the Atman like illumines viveka jnanam, or Atman illumines ajnanam. So there an important discussion would come. So if Atman illumines both, then if viveka jnanam is there, ajnanam which veils viveka jnanam is removed, then that means what would remain behind? So that's where it becomes more tricky. So both are illusions. If we know both are illusions, then it doesn't matter whether we interpret jnanam here as the way to live or proper knowledge. And it can also mean that viveka jnanam is possible only when you know about the Atman. That means swarupa jnanam is essential. You need to know the Atman, you need to have glimpse of swarupa jnanam, you need to know swarupam of the Atman, you need to know that Atman is real, everything else is an illusion. So vivekam itself means, we know that it is like nitya anitya vastu vivekam. So nitya anitya vastu vivekam means we know the Atman in a way, we know the Atman and we know that the world is an illusion. So ajnanam veils viveka jnanam, ajnanam veils jnanam, or ajnanam veils as to our discriminative knowledge which is propagated from the Atman. So if we have discriminative knowledge in the mind, then we are realized. So it's quite simple. The concept is very simple, that we don't need to become Brahman or we need to remove things and all. We just need knowledge. We just need the proper attitude in our mind. The proper attitude is, it's not okay becoming Brahman or trying to be and remove all actions and all. It is just the knowledge that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So that is why Shankara says here it is Viveka Jnanam. If that Viveka Jnanam is there, a person is realized. So that means this Viveka Jnanam is just in the mind. So at the mental level, Viveka Jnanam means knowing that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya and doing action. So if that Viveka Jnanam is there, a person becomes realized. If that is not there, then Ajnanam is there and he will be a Baddha Purusha. So Ajnanena Avratam Jnanam. Jnanam has been veiled by Ajnanam. And because of that, Tena, because of that, Muhyanti Jantavaha. Jantavaha beings, Muhyanti, are deluded. So if Viveka Jnanam is there, then we will know that Na Kartratvam Na Karmani Lokasya Srujati Prabhu Na Karma Phala Samyogam Subhavastu Pravartate. If we know that, then we are the Atman. That is Viveka Jnanam. So at the intellectual level, we have Viveka Jnanam. Beyond the intellect, we have everything as Brahman. That means we are Brahman. We are realized. We are Jivan Muktas. And if you don't have that, if that Viveka Jnanam in the intellect is veiled by Ajnanam, we have to remove that Ajnanam. If that Ajnanam is there, then we'll have Kartritvam, we'll have Karma Phalasam Yogam, we'll have Punya Papam, we'll go behind all those. That such a person will be deluded. So the way out is also simple. Remove Ajnanam. So how can you remove Ajnanam? You can remove Ajnanam by strengthening Viveka Jnanam. So Viveka Jnanam has been temporarily veiled or seemingly veiled. So remove that veil of Ajnanam. How can you remove Ajnanam? You can never remove Ajnanam. You can only bring in knowledge. So there is light in the house, but the light is very small that you feel that light is not there. It is as if darkness has veiled the light in the house. So what do? You bring a bigger light which adds up to the small light, and thereby you gain more knowledge. You gain light in the house and darkness vanishes. So if we have to remove Ajnanam, we have to gain more and more Viveka Jnanam, which is Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahmeva Naparaha. And I am the Sakshi, I am not affected. So Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya means Brahman and Karma. Karma is Mithya, Jagat is Karma Jagat. So Jagat means Karma. So Brahman and Karma and all other things, whatever we can say about. We'll see Krishna himself speak about what would happen if a person gains this Viveka Jnanam, which has been veiled by Ajnanam, if we remove it. So if we strengthen Viveka Jnanam by removing Ajnanam, what would happen? So that is what Krishna explains in the next shloka, which we will see tomorrow. Hari.